pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. Surely it has followed us all the days of our lives, though we were not aware. And even now we're not aware, Lord, of that supreme goodness that is with us at this hour. We pray that you'll help us to be more aware of it, more appreciative, and more responsive to it, Lord, and in loving you, love our fellow man, serving you, serve our fellow man. That it be, Lord, that our outlook be to you and to others, that we might fulfill the obligations that not only to devolve upon us, but actually, Lord, to show forth the life that is within us. Give us mercy tonight, Lord, in the reading and study of your word. May we understand it. May it richly dwell in our hearts and minds, O God. May it take over our very existence by the light that's in this same word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, normally I don't make any announcements at this particular time, but I don't think it hurts the people outside to know the announcement. We have a hall, it's called a fellowship hall, and in this church I find it very peculiar and very lovely, but fellowship is spelled F-O-O-D with a capital F. So, if you like, there'll be the folk from Dalton coming over and different ones, you know, come with us on Sunday. And if you'd like to lunch, just bring your dinner with you. There'll be a place there to heat it up and a few things. It'll work out real good when you have fellowship together instead of going to a restaurant. I'll bring something and my wife will bring something and you bring something. And if yours looks better than mine, I'll borrow yours. And if mine looks better than yours, I'll let you taste mine. Vice versa. So that's what this hall is all about. We're going to use it to the hilt. I don't know how to use the hall to the hilt, but we'll try to work it out somehow. So the Lord bless you. Good to see you. And for lack of maybe a better title, we're going to call this the fulfillment of God number 3. And we'll just try to talk concerning some of the things we know and yet bring to your attention some of the things that though we do know, we might not have placed them exactly by the Scripture. So to begin with, we might say that the majority of Orthodox Christians, in other words, the majority of people that call themselves Christians, even those that are saved, perhaps born again, are only vaguely aware that their earnest desire to live completely fulfilled lives is the exact desire that God has for them in fulfilling that desire. And God helps them to fulfill it because he has that same desire for them. Now, as we look at man falling into sin, many people would think that man doesn't have the desires that God has. Now, that's true. But we're talking about the fulfillment. There's a fulfillment that man has a desire for, and God wants that desire in man fulfilled. Now, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were the recipients of endless days of absolute perfection and always in perfect order and harmony. That's how man started out. He started out in the place that man wants to get back to. Now, it is evident at that particular time in the makeup of the human race, two people, Adam and Eve, it's evident that Eve was either not aware of that perfection that was in her possession, or she did not believe that what she had was perfect. And she could have felt that there was something of a more exotic order that she was missing and could attain to it and thereby gain a perfection. Now, that's something you have to think about, because Eve was evidently somehow fooled to believe that there was something better for her than what she had, and she was interested in getting it apart from God. That's the way the race is today, too. And Adam, too late, attempted to regain the immortality that he had in a state of perfection that he just forfeited. For while he was able to take of the tree of life, he did not. He never took of the tree when he could have. And then he could not after he lost the perfect days that he was living in. He'd lost it all. Now, even at the time, though, that Adam sinned, we want you to notice, the earth was still perfect, and it was not yet affected, nor could be, until God expressed his judgment and curse on it. Now, that's worth knowing, Because all these things end up in types and help us to understand the hour in which we regain immortality. Now, this curse was because of Adam and for no other reason. That's because they had gotten into sin. However, we notice from Scripture that God loved His creation, not just man, but His entire creation. Now, according to Romans 8, creation will be restored, but it cannot be restored until first there is a complete restoration of the elected in the first resurrection, both of Old and New Testament saints. Now, man must first become immortal, and then creation will drop its curse. When man is no longer offensive toward God or no longer offends God, then creation will no longer be desecrated. Now, let's go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and see the very things we're talking about. We just went back to Genesis to show you where it started. Eve had a better idea than God. She got it from the devil. She didn't realize that in God lay perfection, and everything that He had and did was perfect. All the ways of God are perfect. So she was fooled within herself. She did not stay with the Word. Then Adam, of course, he forfeited his right to the tree of life and immortality, and then God had to curse the earth because of him. The people themselves were not cursed, but nature was cursed. But there's a promise of restoration. Now let's read it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Now that's the same thing in Galatians, where he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, whereby you cry, Our Father. Now, if they weren't sons, they would never receive the Holy Ghost. Now, they could be anointed, but they could never receive the Holy Ghost. Impossible. Galatians tells us that. So, therefore, you understand there is a seed that is heir to God, and only the seed. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, a baptism with the Holy Ghost seals in that yearning. In other words, he witnesses to that yearning and lets you know that you are a child of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There again, you see fellowship with the Father through the Son. You see, there's one God, and He had a Son. He still got that Son. If so be we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. In other words, it takes a process of suffering, which is a process of sanctification. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, there's an assessment going on now, and we look at the suffering and the things that are going on at this particular point, and it's difficult to translate that into another assessment, because suffering never seems to equate to glory. Suffering never seems to equate to anything. But the peculiar thing is, and most people don't understand it, without suffering, there is no character. I'm sorry. You know, if your kids don't suffer and you don't suffer, you are just blah. A complete tool of the devil. Now, it doesn't mean you got to suffer the way a lot of people think you got to suffer. It means it's a process of discipline under the greatest battle ever fought. And the mental suffering is a whole lot better, a whole lot worse at sometimes and deeper than a lot of physical pain. See, Sargon, maybe you've got a high threshold of pain, and you can take a lot of that, but you can't stand right there at the Word of God. And I know what I'm talking about. It's a tough deal, but it's... Now, that's what the suffering is. The suffering means you're allowing God to have His way, and you're learning to get out of His way. All right. Now, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation or the placing or the unveiling of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Now, vanity simply means that it comes to the place where it doesn't pay. It's chaotic. It doesn't have a virtuous end. In other words, the expanse of time that you go through, you find, what does it profit? See, right out here in nature. What is it profiting? See, it's under vanity, the same as we are. You can read that in various portions of Scripture. What is man? Job, like a little bit of smoke. little flower of the grass. He a little time of life. And when it's all over, all his accumulation, what do they amount to? The other fellow said, what did he leave? He left everything. What did he take with him? Everything bad. Nothing good. No character. You see? That's the thing you got to watch. See, it doesn't matter how much you give your body burn. Doesn't matter much that you do this and do that. And you say you love and all. But if you don't have that real thing in your heart, it's no profit. Give my body to burn. Give everything I have for people. Like I've tried to say here many times, and using my own life as a very poor illustration. If you ever get a real revelation in God's Word about anything, like I had to do for my finances, because you know, nobody behind me going on the road, we could literally starve to death. When we begin to understand the spirit that lay behind it, then things begin to evolve to exactly where the Word of God said it would take you. Remember, the Word of God can't fail. It is man failing the Word of God. You see, and this is what nature. Nature's in bondage. It's having a terrible time because man reasoned above God. It took that woman just to step out of the traces that one time and think she could get something better than God had for her. There's nothing better for a woman to possess her virginity, to marry a godly man, to live in a godly home, raise godly children, and quit her whoring around. You're not going to tell her that, though. I'm preaching tough, just preaching you the truth. You can't get women to believe it. They never have and they never will. You sisters, you should praise God in the bottom of your hearts like you've never known to praise God to be. And the Word of God is going to take you right back that He took you from. It's right. Nothing against the sexes. I'm not a sexist and a war machine at all with anything. Just the Word of God is true. And that's a tough thing for the mind to take. They don't want to take it. Yeah, just like they said to one fellow said to some nuns one day, said, well, sister, maybe one time you'll be able to change these habits and get new ones, get a new pope. And he said, yes, I think she will. It's like they said, we'll just make God feminine, makes the pope feminine. I'm nothing against the pope. But before it's over, like, they could have a female pope. Very, wouldn't be, couldn't be pope, that'd mean papa. Well, how do you know? They call priests with no children fathers, so my God, anything can take place. Anglicans are called fathers. The Lutherans are called fathers. The Bible says don't call any man your father. All right. Creation made subject to vanity, not willing, but reason in him to subject to the same in hope. In other words, as God had a purpose, and knowing that man would fall, he's got a purpose out in here. Yes, sir. Exactly what the Bible teaches. And everything looks like vanity. Everything looks like, where is it going to go? Is it possible for man sometime to come somewhere? And the answer is yes. The saint of God, the child of God, he is going to be there. You see, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. See, this earth is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Because we're heaven bound. We come from the east and west, meeting together here on the way to Zion. Now, it says here we got this earnest expectation, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In other words, they in the image of God vibrating. Now listen, let's understand this. We haven't got a clue to what this means. But you begin to take the Curlian photograph, and you take the picture of the aura of the plant, and there's a like in comparison to what happens, like a dazzling emanation. We've got four rings of light ourselves. We have an aura. My age, I'm on the fourth ring, and I'm just about shot, like some of you folk maybe do. Getting old now. That Curlian photograph, as soon as that plant begins to wither, watch that thing go down. The aura is not there. It's not resplendent. There's not an emanation. Now, that's a vibration. Now, our bodies must vibrate because life is moving. And we're the highest form of life. We have the highest vibration. We are coming to the place we're going to vibrate with God. And nature will begin to vibrate. Now, it's hard to understand. But let me tell you, you'll feel so good like you never felt. You know, when I start to feel good, I wonder what's wrong with me. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You bet your life you do. Old draggy pants. That wasn't it, brother, sister. It's not God's intention. Nature's going to vibrate with God. And that glory of God, that glorified body, have a vibration go through a stone wall. Light can't even do that. You say, why do you want to go through a stone wall? We don't want to go through a stone wall to just tell you what can happen. See? My, what a tremendous thing that is. Now, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together to now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. We're groaning within ourselves, waiting, just can't wait for that adoption. See, just can't wait for it. Now, this is something, brother, sister, that we all ought to have. A revelation from the Word at this time that we just can't wait. And that doesn't mean because we're sick and we're this and we're that. It means because there is the deep calling to the deep that I spoke of the other day, or Sunday or Saturday. It's just in there. You can't help it. Brother Brown spoke to a little boy that went around chewing the pedals on bicycles. Found out he lacked sulfur. A deep calling to deep. They say if you put food before little kids, if they're not already spoiled from the womb, which they could be these days. But years ago, when kids were more normal, more natural, and it didn't take 8 generations, which is 200 years, to bring you back to health, which would have taken you 8 generations today to get a healthy people. But the kids weren't that way a terrible number of years ago. I'm not that terrible old. And you could put food in front of those kids and things that normally we don't like. And the kids would eat it, just grimace, and yet eat it. Because something in there let them know it was right. How can animals go out there and find the right weed to chew on? We're the stupidest gooks of the whole bunch. Messageway in France, one of the most brilliant herbalists living, renowned by 20,000 doctors. Every year they arrest him, he pays a $2 fine, and he gets to go back to his work. He's the mayor, the honorary mayor of the city for life. They got a big national park named after him. They've made certain woods out there that are his, and he treats people for anything in the under the world except cancer. He's afraid to touch it. He learned a bit from his father. He went out in the woods and he watched what the rabbits ate. He watched animals. He watched nature. He began communing. Began understanding a few things. See, we've lost all of that. See, we lost it. But little kids seem to know. Well, one of these days we'll get back to the full nature of Almighty God. We're groaning within ourselves, waiting for that adoption. So we should groan within ourselves. We should be groaning and waiting for this wonderful city. Every time I see a city, I say, that's not my home, but a man can do that. What's God doing for me? You know, get the upsweep, get the uplook. Now, the beginning of the fulfillment of Romans 8:14-23 that I read about is seen in Revelation, the 5th chapter, under the opening of the seals. And we just look at that, and you'll find out, I'm telling you, what is correct here. All right? And I saw on the right hand him that sat in the throne, that's book, verse 1, a book written within and on the backside, sealed 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, and loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor out of the earth, able to look, open the book and look thereupon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And of course, finally the Lamb came forth and took the book out of the right hand and sat upon the throne. In verse 8, when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God, bought us back to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast, and the elders, and numbered them about 10,000 times 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth which are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And in verse 13 you'll notice, The opening of the seals. Every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sea and every single thing in creation began vibrating with praise and with glory at the opening of the seals. Right? Now, the exact description and time of the start of creation's restoration depends on what seal it's under, because this is under the seals. Now, if we go to Revelation 10:1-6, we'll find something very interesting. And you know the mighty angel came down, and what he was like, cried a loud voice like a lion. You know that's what that's there. And then it says, he uttered seven thunders, and he said, seal up the thunders. And the angel which I, verse 5, saw stand upon the sea, upon the earth, lift his hand heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven, and things that are therein, as therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer. Now you notice it doesn't say one thing about the people, it only mentions the earth. See? And the earth can't have anything done to it until the elect have something done to it, or for it. See? So whatever seal that's under, then that's the seal that is opened. And when it's opened, something happens to the bride, because she's got to have something happen first, which is resurrection, immortality, and then the earth can begin to come back. Now notice carefully that in Revelation 5:8-12, that part, the bride is dealt with in particular. Verse 13 deals with the other. But in Revelation 10:1-6, it is now creation's time of restoration, for the sons of God are already shown to be manifested or adopted. Nature can now no longer suffer. See? Then in verse 7 of Revelation 10:7, let's read it. The days of the voice of the seventh angel, messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as God had declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets, according to his servants the prophets. So then in verse 7 we find that as God has come down to deal with creation, he also deals with the bride by the gospel through a prophet. Now I want that to sink in. See, we say, isn't it wonderful? We are God's top creation. Hallelujah, look at us. Hallelujah, look at that out there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I will destroy him that destroys the earth. Creation is very valuable to God. So therefore, if through Moses he created, and if through William Branham he created, there is something about that that is significantly awesome, because it both takes place under an exit. On ask, why would God create? He's letting you know that out here there's going to be a renewed creation. Just as I don't care if William Branham ate those squirrels, and I don't care for 15 seconds what happened under time of Moses. It's just letting you know, showing you in a type and a figure, brother, sister, what God is going to do for a creation. And it's very, very startling to know that creation in Revelation 10 precedes what we think is the gospel for you and me, and let's face it, the gospel is for creation out there too. I can prove it, because the trees of the fields clap their hands. You ain't gonna get this on. You're going to see that creation in the sight of God is a marvelous and wonderful thing. Now, what I say then, the two must go together. And we see in both places, we see the bride and we see creation. And it has to be that way, or God would mess up. The prophets would mess up. It has got to come together. You cannot separate them. God is not going to restore this earth and not restore man. And God is not going to restore man and not restore the earth. As Brother Branham categorically said so beautifully, before there was a fish with a fin to swim, there was water to swim in. But you'll notice, when God made the earth And the wonderful part of it for man, he did not make the Garden of Eden that time. He waited till man was made, and then he put man in it, and it's the same with New Jerusalem. You get my picture? You bet the earth's going to be all ready and pretty there. And we standing right by. And New Jerusalem right in it. Come on right down on top. See, he never fails his procedures and his processes. You can study this Bible a million different ways, brother, sister, and it's going to come out the same every single time. Man could never do it. This is a book written by God himself. Now, all of this starts in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. And I'm always taking you there. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also life. Well, sure. Came resurrection. What did God do? He made man, breathed in him life. Now he takes that life and he glorifies it through Jesus Christ. Now he brings it back, takes the same dirt. You know that God uses the same earth and glorifies it for you and me? You talk about being a conservationist and an economist. That billionaire God, trillion times trillion billionaire, he doesn't waste even a hair of our head. Jesus, when he was on earth, began breaking a lot of loaves and fishes. He said, don't let a fragment loss take it all up again. The great conservationist. That's right. God's not going to waste this universe, brother, sister. Don't let anybody tell you anything is going to disappear or be lost. He's going to bring it all back. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, from amongst the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Oh, I know people don't like the teaching of the presence. Oh, they got it all fixed. And Lee Vail is just as crazy as those goofy bunch of Rutherford, you know, those Jehovah's Witnesses. He's just crazy. He's a Roman Catholic in spirit. The whole thing there, he's wrong. Oh, yeah. They're not going to tell me because I've read the best authorities in the world on it. I'm going to tell you, you can take one Greek word and one Hebrew word. You can have as many as 40 different meanings according to context. And Brother Branham said, my message is to declare that he is here. And he said it was a brand new message based upon a vindication of a spiritual, of a healing revival, which there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there's a true new ministry. And if he's here in the light of the old church age, the Pentecostals, then William Branham was phony as a $3 bill. He's just a big mouth that somehow got a blessing or something going. He's a phenomenon. Who needs phenomenons? Brother, sister, this isn't something to point you somewhere. Who needs it? Bad enough we get born, get sick, and die. Who needs it? Either this book is true or it's a lie. I hate liars. I'm big enough myself to, my Lord, I hate myself even. Christ's presence. Headship. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver to the kingdom of God, even the Father. Put down all rule and authority and power, for you must reign till you put all enemies under his feet. He's telling you something. He's telling you, you and I cannot do one single solitary thing concerning our future as to the resurrection and the restoration coming back here until he comes down and does something for us. Now then, listen. If you don't believe that, then go and join Pat Robinson and join the Roman Catholics. Because their main thing is, we're going to make us so big and wonderful for Jesus. Hallelujah. He's just going to have to come down and say, isn't it wonderful what you did? I'll take over now. You bet he's going to take over with a 4x4 with spikes in it and a lake of fire. There goes your Pat Robinson for blasting off against Brother Branham and mouthing off like a Roman Catholic. I got no fight with these guys, but I'm going to preach this word of God. And that's something in my heart tells me, I'll have strength in my day and my showdown. God never failed me yet. I might have tried to boot him around, but never booted me around you. All authority. He must reign. Once he comes down here, he starts doing something, brother, sister. Don't anybody tell you different. The last enemy destroyed is death. You see, If you don't understand the spirit of this age, which is the mind of the prophet, you will sit in your seats and stagnate and die. I have no trouble anymore, sonny, like this down 1,000 years. I'm here teaching you and helping you listen to me. I won't be here always. And don't think I will. I'm not lying to you. Begin to understand, my brother, my sister, get in the Spirit. And the Spirit is an eternal Spirit which you already were, so it shouldn't be too hard to get into it. Apes have no trouble praying like apes. Dogs have no trouble being dogs. Then I tell you, seed of God should have no trouble being seed of God. Dogs don't have eternal life. Only as God might grant it here in the millennium, down the ages, there'll be horses, there'll be this, there'll be that, you bet there'll be. They won't be for war. Lion gonna roll right around and eat straw with the ox. Kid gonna pick up a deadly snake that's no longer deadly. That's because you and I have eternal life. It's a beautiful life of Almighty God. It says right here, this God that came down, this presence that came down, is moving right now. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't understand and see him moving as the prophet said, you aren't a part of it in my books. You say, Brother Vail, you're mean, you're rotten, you're dirty. I always said I was. What are you yapping about? If I said I was going to come and kick your door down, take the butter out of your refrigerator and every cent you had in your sock, and I did, what are you grouching about? I done told you. It's going to do. I'm not here preaching love, nor sarcasm. I'm preaching the truth. This thing is crisscrossed back and forth in the Bible. You couldn't deny if you tried. Of course, anybody can deny anything. Could deaf, dumb, and blind. For he put all things under his feet. That's the potential. But when he said all things are under him, it's manifest. He is left up, which did put all things under him. God comes down here and puts everything and he actually puts everything under the feet of Jesus Christ, but God himself. He doesn't do it. And the church is absolutely 100% under the feet of Jesus Christ as we meet him up there in glory because he's the physical capstone. And just before we get there, that spirit that takes up incarnates himself and the head joins the body. The wedding supper goes on. Now this goes right to the very end. See? All right. Also, we see that time begins to blend into eternity in Revelation 10 and 6. Now let's look at that. Now, isn't it true that somebody came down in 1 Corinthians 15? Isn't it so? At the present, somebody came down. All right, doesn't somebody come down in Revelation 10? Okay, what happens in Revelation 10? It says here, the sixth verse, that at that particular time, when he starts doing this thing, time shall be no longer. And if time isn't any longer, as you view this, when this occasion takes place, God has now flung the whole thing into the eighth day of eternity, whether you understand it or not. Because I'll tell you why. This millennium is a further time of sanctification. That's all it is. So time is going right along in the stream of eternity. And all you're waiting for is the day by day or the thousand year by thousand year manifestation. That's all. But it's the same thing becoming. And if we always were eternal, then it's a matter of eternal things like you and me becoming. And the geography becomes commensurate with it. We're in sin. See all that stuff out there in the universe? Watch the minute we get our resurrection. Watch it start to clean up. Watch through those 1,000 years. Watch past the lake of fire and see what God begins to do. Can't you see, brother, sister, the whole thing is eternal? A complete manifestation of Almighty God and the sons of God. But there comes time when God begins to demonstrate and manifest and show these peculiar things that he wants to do with his people and for his people. And just become a step up and a step up. The shadow coming closer and closer to the wall, as Brother Bannon said. There's a longer shadow. Time and eternity blend. Now then, since Revelation 10 and 6 depends upon Revelation 10 and 7, because they don't hear, the gospel. They are beneficiaries of those that do hear the gospel. So in Revelation 10 and 6 is the beneficiary of Revelation 10 and 7. The gospel declared by the prophets. So there's going to be a prophet there at the end time. Just exactly as Brother Branham said. Now, so I say, since Revelation 10 and 6 depends upon Revelation 10 and 7, it is evident that Revelation 10 and 7 is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Let's go back and take a look at it. Now, this is just, I'm just using pure scripture logic. Because nature to be changed depends upon our change. So therefore, if Revelation 10 and 6 depends upon Revelation 10 and 7, Revelation 10 and 7 is 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you mystery. When all sleep will all be chained to moan, drinking out the last trump. Last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Why the emphasis? Why the emphasis? God said the trumpet is going to sound, the trumpet is going to sound. You know why? Because they don't believe a trumpet is going to sound. They don't think there is going to be a repeat of the gospel. An omega. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortality must put on immortality. So in this corruptibility shall I put on incorruptibility, and this mortality shall I put on immortality. For this mortal, then shall be brought to pass the same dream, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? Death, where is your victory? Appointed unto man once to die. Cut off! God just knocked one of his words on the head. See, that word didn't have life in it. It had history in it. The life was in it to the extent that God would surely fulfill it. But you see, the law brings death, it says right here. The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. You're looking at grace, brother, sister. Brother Branham said, if God ever sends his power back in the church, it'll be by grace and not by works or by obedience. So you see what I'm telling you. Six depends upon seven. So therefore, 7 is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 55. Well, that's simple. And thus it goes, plumb to the New Jerusalem, because it says, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There you are. Thus we see in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, it has to be the seventh seal. Because the seventh seal is the last seal. I mean, you're through dealing with the seals. You're through dealing with the whole plan of God upon earth, and it's throwing you right into eternity. Because he said, I saw the new heavens and the new earth. And you only got so many of everything. Seven is completion. And when you go beyond the seven, you hit an eight. Start all over again, eternity. All right, thus we see Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the seventh seal or last seal, because it goes plumb up to the restoration of creation, which is spoken of in 2 Peter 3, chapter 10 to 13. Now, the reason I'm preaching this is because I'm putting together in a new way for you. And every time I put it together in a new way, it becomes that much clearer. Your faith gets more and more confirmed. You say, well, that's the way it is. Then you say, that's the way I am. See, that's mine. You see, you've got to get that way, brother, sister. Before you put on, in my day, before you put on long pants, you put on knee pants. Today, now, before you put on good clothes, you put on your dungarees. Bunch of dungaree kids. And God's got no dungaree kids, I can tell you that. You're going to have your new suit on. Maybe even a new birthday suit, you're going to have new skin. Not to worry about when you get dermatitis rich or something else with the gollywops. You don't have to worry about it at all. Alright, let's look at it. 10th verse, 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which heaven shall pass away, the great noise, the elements mount with the fervent heat, and the earth also in the works everything be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy behavior and godliness, looking for and hasting out of the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent to be found in him, of him, in peace without spot and blameless. And account of the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. He is our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, as written unto you. And he speaks strong things in the epistle. Now, I want to show you something here. Do you know that this is the end of the 1,000 years after you become immortal? Why then does he say it? Because he wants you and me to get the spirit of the hour, which is eternity. The spirit of the ego, my brother, sister, is that spirit of God that in one breath can jump 1,000 years in one word. Yes, sir. That spirit can take the word of God and bring out all the compound meanings. And you've got to learn to look through the eyes of the prophet. People aren't doing it. And they're stumbling over the word. I had a phone call. Might not come up first best. I don't play around. I know where we're going, how we're getting there. See, how do you know? I got a book. It was revealed by a vindicated prophet. Peter used a prophetic eye. A God who calls things which are not as though they were. We are back to Abraham and the seed of Abraham, who knew a God who calls things which are not as though they were, and who raises the dead. And at the time of the raising of the dead, we get the prophetic insight and call those things which are not as though they were. We are walking in the eternal light with the eternal God and in eternity. You say, oh, Brother Bain, you're going to die. I don't care if I'm going to die. This is that hour. Don't sit there wondering. I get mad at times. I'm not exactly mad, but I'm a very impatient person. And I don't consider it to be a privilege to speak to people, if you're that kind, which I don't believe you are, to sit like Jack Bell said, a bunch of owls in a tree. Get your thinking cap on. Get your heart. I'm telling you something. If you don't believe it, go someplace else. I can preach to three people or nobody. I preach to my wife. But somebody's going to know. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's using the terminology that we know now, but we're looking way down the road. It comes as a thief in the night, and the heavens melt. You think I'd care two bits about that when I'm glorified? I got no trouble. He's telling you. He's talking to a mixed congregation. He's talking to a people. He's talking to the end time, and they're going through the, is there something there? Is something going on? I wonder what is this all about? Or they said it before, but it's stupid. You're right down to the lake of fire, and you see the long suffering of God as he separates, as it were, sheep from goats in the resurrection, and a bride is sitting there unscathed. A bride is sitting there getting rewards. Are you beginning to catch what I'm trying to tell you? If you are, it's like a cow kicked you right between the eyes. For good, not for bad. Revelation 20:21. And I saw a new heaven, a couple of verses, and a new earth. And the first heavens and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. And he gives the picture of which Peter merely said how it was going to be done in the dissolution. Now let's go back to Peter. Now he said the works are going to be burnt up with fervent heat. The elements will melt. And they'll go to gases. Seeing then, now listen, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Now, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy behavior and godliness. We've taken our stand. They were part of that throng, looking for and hasting out of the coming of the day of the Lord. Now you and I can't make it happen. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about understanding the imminency of it and the importance of it, and we're part of it, and we get in the spirit of it. We simply haven't got in the spirit of things. We've got to be a little like that girl that was wrong when she did it. Brother Bannon talks about that girl named Nellie. I forget her last name. She got saved and she didn't mean to get on the dance floor, but she heard the music and she thought, well, I'll just stop and look in. Maybe you can testify to somebody. She stepped in the door and a guy grabbed her, and the first thing she was dancing, and the devil just possessed her right then. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If you and I hear the heavenly music, and God help us to hear the heavenly music of the prophet, to open the door and step in that he may grab us and put us in the spirit, it'd be certainly lovely. But that's what he's talking about. Because this is 1,000 years down the road. What effect can a revelation have? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't understand it myself, but I know enough to understand I'm telling you the truth, and I've got to have it in my heart, and you've got to have it in your heart. This is that critical thing we saw in the prophet. We are the children of the prophets. That's exactly what Peter said. And those people there in that first age caught the lion spirit. L-I-O-N. Now, let the lion eat straw with the ox. Amen. That's finished. Let the eagle soar from the heavenly places and understand with a heavenly insight what's going on now. Because in my books, Peter is not only ignorant, he is stupid. Unless the prophetic vision has caught him. And he said, listen, you people down there at the end time, under that seventh sea, when it begins to open under a prophet called Elijah, there's one thing you need more than anything in the world, is to get in the spirit of the hour. And you cannot do it unless you're full of the Word, because the Word is a conduit to the Spirit. Amen. And you'll never get it outside of a revelation of that Word. That is a true mechanical understanding. You can't do it. We'll sit here and pick our nose till kingdom come. We'll sit around. And we'll live ordinary, gooky lives and watch our kids get into sin and go to hell. I'm talking about the Spirit of God, my brother, sister. There's nothing like it, because that alone is true life. We wonder why things don't go right. We just don't get in the Spirit. Back to Isaiah, chapter 65 is the same thing we read before. And I knew I put too many notes out tonight. We'll just quit in a little while. Repeat and go over Sunday. I've already gone 3/4. I'll never get finished if I... Look, I'm going to tell you something. If I even prayed and asked God to let me preach this sermon on my notes, and I'm on page 3, you'd have to put it in handwriting on a wall and you just get it instantly. So I'm not even going to pray about the time. It'd be foolish to ask God something like that. Just letting you know. Time gets away, so time gets away. Isaiah 65, behold, I create new heaven and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Now, you know something beautiful? Already in our minds is this wonderful thing that is going to be. And all this junk that's here now, while we're looking over there, is going to be gone. How beautiful. No more memory. Then if it ain't worth remembering, we ought to shut it out now and start thinking about the holy city. And you know why we don't? Because we're so scared that somehow we're not worthy enough, when there's no way you and I ever will be worthy. And if we think we got to be worthy, let's all go tonight, as much as have got strength, and get drunk and take drugs and mug and rob and rape and pillage and be downright very wonderful, marvelous, complete sinners and come back and get some grace. That ought to settle the Armenians, the Mennonites, the Methodists, the Roman Catholics, and everybody but the good old grace people. And I'm telling you something every Armenian knows, and he doesn't believe. He'll mouth it, he'll talk it, and he'll become a liar over it. It's the truth, and you know it. I'm not lying to you. Brother Branham preached the sermon one more time, Lord. Just wanted one more time like Samson. Oh, God, give us something to take us through. But I like the thought over, and I think it's in Isaiah. Take one more look at the pit from whence you're digging and say, goodbye, pit. Hallelujah, glory. Years ago, the Everly Brothers sang a song, goodbye, love, I think I'm going to die. The time the bride sang, goodbye, death, I know I'm going to live. Everything fits if you just know where to fit it. There's a place for gumboots, my brother's sister, but it's not dancing in the spirit. That's when your feet are shod with the gospel. I hope you caught that. Nothing to weigh us down. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Rejoice in that which I create. Begin to rejoice in New Jerusalem. You say, brother there, what'll it do for me? It'll do everything I'm talking about. This is the bringing of the mind under control. Because you and I can only feel as good as we think we feel. It's proven right now, what is it called? The endorphins, I think that's what they call it. Manufactured by the brain. Goes to your nerves and settles your nerves and that takes away the pain and all. And it's proven that a little electrical impulse, TMS, TEMS, I think they call it, built out in California. Little impulse takes away the pain of arthritis and a lot of things. And you can buy a little machine for $49 to one that's worth $1,200 and feel real good. And you can stimulate a rat's brain for a little electric impulse, a little needle. And he'll be so happy, he'll just die happy. The man hasn't got enough brains to know that the Word of God will stimulate our brains and our hearts until we feel good and rejoice and everything passes away from this world here that it's impertinent and no good anyway. It's just an affront to us. Until we see God's hand forming and knowing we're going to get it all in the right way. Brother, sister, it's in the mind. This is the mind age. Haven't come to that yet. It's here. In my notes, we'll get it. Now he said, and I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. Now he said, you be glad and rejoice for what I'm going to do. And now they'll turn around and rejoice in you. Hey, that's a love affair. I love my wife, she loves me. You can't beat that for harmony. I love this new Jerusalem, and God loves me. I rejoice in that, he rejoices in this. How do you get rid of condemnation then, and guilt, and all these feelings we have? Start doing this. We say, well, I don't know. Have you ever tried it? I told you years and years ago, I could be one of those kids, you know, we had our house, my mother was a good cook. Oh, man, could she cook. And she had something to cook with, and don't you think she did? When we had cream beans and cream peas, it wasn't the kind of goop that you guys take. A little bit of butter and flour and milk, she poured in thick cream, blob, blob, blob. We weren't pudgy, we ran it off. We had a couple hundred chickens. Oh, the kind that you only can dream of. You just eating junk today. You know, you're eating chickens that's eating protein made out of processed horse manure. Right. That's the truth. Come on, don't tell me it's not true. But it is true. It's just protein. What kind? Why, we had our troughs full of fresh milk for our chickens. And that stinking, rotten, lousy depression came. And from T-bone steaks and beautiful pork chops. Come on, Greg, you didn't have pork chops we ever had. You raised great big sows and hogs. We didn't. We butchered those hogs so they came out dressed at 80 to 120 pounds. Oh, the freshest, lovely meat. They're fed on oats and grain and buttermilk and things. They weren't fed on this junk you buy and this hybrid grain. You talk about sweet-smelling pork. The pork you buy and cook now smells like you're cooking a sewer pipe. and almost tastes like it. I'm not running down anybody's hogs. I'm just telling you the truth. It's changed. Once in a while to get a good piece of pork, when depression comes. I'm reduced to eating fat brisket for 4 cents a pound because I can't afford the sirloin steak for 2 bits. And that bugs me and bugs me and bugs me. The one night I get saying, my God, boy, what's mad at you? People are starving. They got dysentery from just eating wheat. You can eat cauliflower. You can eat different things, potatoes and all. And you got this nice brisket here. And I got so happy with the Lord and thanking God for the fat brisket, I was going to run downstairs and have a meal of it. Listen, that's the truth of this. Then that's a mental religion. It is a mental religion because we are mental people. And what you are mentally affects your spirit. And what you and I get in here by the Word of God will change our lives. I'll get to that Sunday morning. Don't give me, don't bug me. This particular point. Let's keep reading. There should be, now listen here. And joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no more be heard in here, nor the voice of crying. Evidently, weeping and crying are two different things. They are. One person is sobbing and crying. The other fellow is crying out for something. Neither one's happy. And there shall no more thence be an infant in days, nor no man that not filled his days. Now it says there won't be an infant, and there won't be no man that hasn't filled his days. Then therefore, you think about a child dying 100 years old, and he need to die. If there's no infant in days, how can you have a kid 100 years old? Shake your head, please, 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 rattle the peanuts up there. Look at the Bible. There's a contradiction there. Numeration evidently is discontinued. It's an eternal realm. I, as far as I'm concerned, I believe what Brother Branham told me. Nobody's going to be born there because if they're going to be born there, then you'd build and someone inherit. You'd plant someone eat it. You're going to build and take over. Isn't that nice for a change, Dave? You have your own house. Your turn to build me one pretty soon. Well, maybe I should build you one. You have an awful house, kid. You get in a hurry, too, about down to 10 cents store for a buck and a half. See, a sinner, there's nothing there. They'll build a house and inhabit it, eat plant the earth and eat the fruit thereof. They shall not build another inhabit and plant another eat. For the days of a tree are the days of my people. So in my books, there's a comparison going on here. In this hour that we're looking in where people do hunger, they do cry, they do die, babies die, everything is hodgepodge mixed up in sin and degradation. It says, look, that's over. You're stepping into it. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. The prophet said you got to do something to make something happen. You threw a rock in the air. It created a suction. Somebody handed me a paper not too long ago on tornadoes. I read it some. Who gave me that paper? I don't know. Tremendous, tremendous article. And it says, even something thrown in the air like a rock will cut it, will start that tornado off. The slightest imbalance in nature. Brother Branham actually did it not knowing one word about the science of tornadoes and the science of science. He told us. And I thought to myself, well, hey, it does do it. And if that's what God wants, that's good enough by me. But that in itself wouldn't do it. But it did it. It wasn't just typical. It was reality. What are we doing to start something? Now, we can't make it come to pass, my brother, sister, as though you and I were the author of it. But if the author of it told us to do something and we didn't do it, then will the finisher step in beside the author? And the answer is no. My people will be willing in the day. In that day. This is that day. And God's people are willing to listen and do this very thing. And the prophet said, get rid of your negative thinkings. He said, of course, he said, you can't stop them all. The old Chinese proverb, you can't stop the bird flying through the branches, but you can sure stop them nesting. I sure stopped the sparrows making a lot of noise around my place, too. They would scream their fool heads off in the trees. By the time I got through sticks up there a few days, they were gone. Just God pound those, help, not God pound the thoughts out of my head. Lee, they'll pound the thoughts out of my head. God told me to do it. Here's what we're looking at. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offerings, and their offspring of them. Now what it says here, behold, I create this new place. Therefore be glad and rejoice. You haven't even got it. All you've got is a promise, but the promise is in sight. So therefore start rejoicing in it. Look at nature up there, everything drying up, burning up. Rejoice. Thank God there's coming a day when the world doesn't need rain. You won't have oceans. Thank God there's not needed. Thank God there's a tree of life in the garden. Thank God there's the eternal city. And the Bible said this is that hour, and that is why this is under the seals, under the thunders, in the thunders. We are taught this. And it's not as though the teaching is going to do one blessed thing for us. Unless you really believe and see the importance. And realize that when the believers came together, they talked it, they expressed it, and they lived a certain way because of it, because they are part of it. Brother Branham talked to that African, that black man. Nobody could figure him out. He just was so different. He never got better food, never got better clothes, didn't get anything better. In fact, he just like the rest of them. So what makes him there? He said he's the son of a king, and he knows it. That's right. I want to tell you something, brother. So what made those prophets the way they were? Because of that tremendous insight by the Spirit of the living God moving. And when that vision came upon them, they were there. And I'm going to tell you something. We have the same thing William Branham had in our own order. Because his ministry was not for William Branham. Here's my ministry for me. No fivefold ministries for himself. That's where everybody's grabbing for money and notoriety, everything else, living in sin and degradation. A man of God in the pulpit that's right is going to believe God and go God's way. I'm not saying I'm going that way all the time, but I'm trying. I've learned a few lessons. By the grace of God, I'll learn more. Now listen, he tells you they'll not labor in vain. No way. So we're laboring in vain now. Say, look, I'm laying up treasure, though. And that laying up a treasure, brother, sister, depends in the spirit in which you do what you're doing. Because if you give and you're not giving right, you give your body. You can give everything. You got the shirt off your back and pooey, you got nothing but cracked eggshells. That's all you got. No eggs, no chicken. You and I have had it. That's why I tell you time after time, and I'm not trying to tell you as though I know something and you know nothing. I'm trying to share with you and be persuasive and let you know, listen, there's an atmosphere concerning materiality that will come upon you where you have all sufficiency for all things, and I don't care who you are. I am telling you, and God will do it. Will you listen to me? Oh, God, don't be mugwumps tonight, brother, sister, and try to get what I'm trying to tell you. It took years of sacrifice and struggle to do it, but it was done. We stood still, and it was done. Well, I'm talking this way for a purpose. Words are never lost, brother. Brother Ben said they go spinning around for eternity. I'm telling you the truth. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They don't now. The lion eats straw like a bullet. That's wonderful. Thus be the serpent's meat. There shall not hurt and destroy. And all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Get in that spirit of peace and rejoicing. The vibrations, the pulsations of peace. Peace like a river attending my way in and private. I believe Ezekiel's river flowing out of the temple, that we are the temple of God. We can create that spirit in this church by the life of God in and through and around us until the sick are healed. I'm not worried about gifts. Gifts are on the shelf. I pray every day, literally twice a day, for every single person. And let you understand this. I know this church has got to have three kinds of people. And I'm not insulting you before God, because I could be the wrong one myself. We are believer, make believer, unbeliever. But let everyone be anointed by a spirit. The Spirit of God, if it's just even anointing, until that beautiful, lovely Spirit of Christ is in this building, and there's not one feeble amongst us. Anyway, that is what God said for this hour would be. His Spirit would come upon A-double-L flesh. We can get our eyes off everybody, get our eyes right on God and care less and forget less what's ever been done. I don't hold any grudges, nor bitterness or anything. I just simply can't forget it. That's good for me. Keep me being a stupid jerk the next time. You too. But I tell you, each one of us can cultivate a spirit of love and cooperation and unity, and we were going that way, and I say things slide in, and you come back, and you go away this way again. Why will you not wake up people here in this church? I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you. I know what I'm talking about. If I don't, then tell me I don't, and I'll go someplace else and preach. I don't mind at all. I'll even take your building off for you. You sit right here and have the whole thing free, lock, stock, and barrel. Be my guest. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. But I kid you not, brother. I'm telling you the truth. You can pull all together or not pull together. You can have this spirit in you. I can have it. And I'll tell you, to make it feel a little better, it's coming better and better. But once in a while, there's a poorly. There should be such love amongst us at this hour because of this word. I believe the word of God here is taught 100% to the letter, to the inspiration of it. If it wasn't, I'd change it. There's something you and I can have, but we've got to work at it. Brother Branham taught us the great battles in the mind. And he tells us, let me read it again. I'm going to close because I want to take another section. Repeat for Sunday and take a section. I create new heavens and earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. So I haven't done it yet. This is way back about 2,700 years ago. The prophet said it. And 600, about 700 years beyond that, Jesus came and told him the same thing. Now he said, listen, the former things won't be remembered. They'll come into your mind. At the time this is going on, be glad and rejoice. And you know what Peter says? Now Peter takes the same thing over here in Peter. Now let's go back to Peter, the second Peter, and the third chapter, and get the picture. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's illustrating. The heavens shall be great, melt with the pass away with a great noise. The heavens melt with the fervent heat. The earth also is worth to be burnt up. Now that's after the lake of fire. Now listen, he's saying, now seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be concerning your life, your behavior, your godlikeness, looking for and hastening the coming? And yet we know we can't make God do anything ahead of time, and on our time, it's on His time. But what I'm saying is this, the Spirit will be in the church at this time of darkness, where people are mocking, and they're fussing, and they're hating what we stand for. How we don't give rid. So let them do. I'm looking to us. How can any preacher says about this church who thinks I'm off, way off beat? Let him come and prove it. You don't have to care what anybody says or anybody thinks. All you got to do is think what God said through the mouth of Isaiah, through the mouth of Peter, through the mouth of John. Tells you right here. He's not talking to those people that are going to go to the lake of fire. He's not talking to mortal people anymore. The ones that go to the lake of fire got a resurrection body for the lake of fire. And those other got a resurrection body for outside the holy city. And if we're bad, we got a resurrection body for in the city. Now he said, listen, I'm bringing all these things to your attention while you now can remember. Because down there you won't remember. Now then, gear your mind to the holy city. Brother Branham said, we so ought to love to live our lives. We'll meet our loved ones in the resurrection. That's what Peter's saying right here. Get in the spirit. And Brother Branham wrote that out on the wall. He said, love one another. He said, you love each other now because I'm here. But he said, I'm gone. He said, you'll start spring. Peter said the same thing. Over here, Peter talking about that great presence of God in 1 Peter. No. 2 Peter. He says that for he received from God the Father honor and glory when he came to voice to him and glory, this is my beloved Son of whom I am pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Do you think it didn't do something to him? We have also a more sure word, a word of prophecy, he said, is made more sure at the end time. He said, in other words, there's something even beyond this. Wherefore you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. That's Matthew 24 and 27. The light coming east to the west. Until the day dawn, the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy scripture any interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time with a man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Tells you right there. Then it says false prophets are going to come. Then it said, what's going to act up here? He said, in all of that, when all of this has come, you understand and know this. You are a heavenly people. One day this will all be forgotten. So then why worry about it? Put your mind on that which is eternal. Paul said the same thing. In 2 Corinthians, what is it? The fourth chapter? I don't know. Yeah. 70 verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have a promise of the eternal. Then he said, keep looking. This is the hour, brother, sister, to get our eyes on New Jerusalem. We have already met with Melchizedek, whether you want to know it or not. We've already started to take the bread and the wine. Talk about it later on. Okay, let's understand then tonight what I'm talking about. Under the seventh seal, the spirit of eternity comes into existence, the spirit of the living God. And in such a way that we have within our own abilities, in our possession right now, to put our hearts and our minds on the eternal, and thereby we will live those lives that measure more to the eternal than to the other. We can look out here and say, it's all going, but hallelujah, it's all coming back in the right order, and I'm coming back with it. My Father owns it all, and I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord. Begin to get the upward look. You're going to be people there through all eternity. These are my friends. I'll be there all eternity. I don't know if I can stand some of you through eternity, so I've got to change my thinking. I'm not going to stand up here to lie to you. What do you think I am? Some kind of a scarecrow? I didn't mean to say a mean thing. I can't stand myself. Why should I stand you? I brought it up for a little illustration. I want you to know, brother, sister, that we haven't got arrived. We haven't arrived. But we are in the position of arrival, and the bus is waiting at the door. God is waiting on the world for that last cup of sodomite iniquity. But he's also waiting on us, because righteousness and filthiness go hand in hand. And as one rises, the other rises, and they're going to be vessels to make it rise. And brother, sister, one day the righteous vessels will rise from out of here. I think we ought to begin counting each other more worthy than ourselves. We ought to get the heavenly uplook. And not this pseudo-punk idea of love, but I mean a real, genuine, understanding scripture and say, yes, that's the spirit that worketh in me. Now, you know I've never tried to put any of you down. I've never taken your money. I've never, as far as I know, belittled you. I've been rough up here at times, but I've also put my fingers right back at me. I'm not saying this for any gain or anything at all. I'm just saying this, and this is the spirit of this hour. We're going to talk more about it Sunday. This is what this is all about under the seventh seal. There is a spirit to enter into. And it's a spirit that's in the living word of Almighty God. And out in Pentecost and all around, they'll have all of these things that are going to look just as wonderful and just as marvelous. Right. But there is this thing we're looking at. It's far different because we've entered into eternity. So is the rest of it. They don't know. But it said God will know, his children rather, will know as they're known. The end has come. So here we are. This is as far as I'm going to go. Sorry. Sunday morning we'll take a few more pages and see where we're going. But brother, sister, that's what we have an understanding of. Well, have you got any time left on that, Joe? All right, let me read this. Remember, the seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. It's the end of time of all things. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation world. That's the earth and everybody in it. The bride and the good ones. Every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. Seventh seal. Every seal was broken. The seventh seal is Revelation 10 and 1. And it deals with the earth and creation and the bride. And what more do you want? because they are under the seas and open. The whole creation in a bride, and all rejoice and glorify God. I haven't told you a lie. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there's the end of the trumpets. Sure. Our seal goes plumb over Israel's trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Time will be no more. And today's the great thing to happen. Everything runs out at this time. The end of the seventh seal. Notice the end of the church age. The end of the seventh seal. The end of the trumpets. The end of the vials. The end of the earth. And even ends the ushering in of the millennium. It's just like firing a rocket in the air. That rocket explodes and goes up and explodes again. It puts up five stars. And those stars put up bloat and put up five stars more. And one of the stars explodes and five more. See, it just fades on and on, fades on and on. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this, the time that ends up everything. Yes, sir. Everything just ends up on the seventh seal. I'm going to ask you a question. If it ends up the time of the earth, it's all run out. Where are you going to be? Under the seventh seal. The revelation of the end time. See, we're not fools, brother and sister. We can sit here and people laugh at us, come in here and say, they're a bunch of idiots. Doesn't make a big difference. What do I care what they say? Just don't bother answering their questions. Don't fool with them. Just say, we believe this. I know you don't, but it's all right. We believe it. What about you? Everybody's got to believe something. I don't care who it is. You can be even a half with your belief something. You can be literally a complete moron. Something inside you stirs. You'll go that way. You got to believe something. What do you believe tonight? So I believe the prophet. So I believe the seventh seal. Let's get in the spirit of it. That's what it's all about. Let's rise and be dismayed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight. And thank you, O living God, for the word that you bring us. And we know, Lord, it's true. We know there is a people got to get in the Spirit because John was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. That's when that voice came forth. We've had your voice come forth, Lord, according to Hebrews 12. Now, Father, we know that every single one of us can get in the Spirit to a measure under the anointing. And that's true, and I pray, God, that every single one of us shall do that until we have become knit together in a respect and a love for each other in that spirit, O God. For even the dead could be raised, Lord, because of such a beautiful, wonderful spirit. But Lord, there's also a deeper one where the revelation, the stimulation of that revealed word, Lord, to a true elect people can come forth. But Lord, nobody knows and can prove anything because the foundation of God stand assured, having the seal of the Lord knoweth them which are his. Nobody here can prove anything, Lord. We're not meant to prove any. It was already proven. We're under the seventh seal. We're listening to him who speaks to us who came down from heaven. We're taking his words. We've taken his words and see directed right to eternal things. And Lord God in heaven, I can say with the prophet tonight, I know it to be true. That if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. Somebody somewhere, Lord, is getting this word as we speak it tonight and know it tonight. But we don't know it, Lord, the way we want to know it, and we sure don't know it the way you want us to know it. And so, Father, that means there's a deep calling to a deep, and that means, Lord, you're going to answer. Father, I'm claiming the understanding of this word, the revelation, the knowledge therein, and the power of it, O God, reason it for every single person in this building, Lord. Because nobody knows but you, Lord, and everybody's hearing this word. And surely, O Lord, there's not one of us who cannot absorb the understanding what lies behind that word, knowing if there is a deep calling to a deep, then the deep will answer. The cataract, the noise of thy waterspouts, the roar, will answer back to us. Father in heaven, I thank you that no matter what we may feel or think we feel or see, no matter what, Lord, according to senses, according to what people call science or anything else, you remain true and your word remains true. And by faith, O God, we have already received the promise, which is deepening and becoming more and more apparent until one day we're part with it. So, Father, bless your people tonight. Heal the sick amongst you, we pray, O God. Anoint each one of us to be more and more consecrated to the truth Even as John said, and even as Peter said, what a godly man warning us. And here we stand a thousand years off from it at least. And we're told that something about this hour has everything to do with that hour. Lord, that's the fairest warning I've ever heard in my life. That's the most marvelous knowledge that anybody could give us. Here it is, you've already told us. By grace tonight and what faith we got in our hearts, Father, we just, as it were, lift our hearts and our hands to you, our minds, O God, our spiritual entities, our essence. We lift you and say, let God be praised. You're right, Lord. We accept tonight. We accept tonight, Lord, in the spite of our own experience, our own lives, no matter what we have been and even are at this point, we accept, O God, the word that you have created that city and are in process of finishing it. And we rejoice in it, O God, that you may rejoice in us even as you said to us in Malachi. That when you heard them talking a certain way, you said, these are my jewels, I'm going to spare them. And Lord, that's enough. That's enough, Lord. It's more than enough. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. The Lord love you. Hope you haven't thought I've been too rough. I haven't been rough at all, really. It's just my nature up here. Barking and hoping that somehow we can just scrub off the things that really bother us. One day, we'll be humans in the right way. That's good, isn't it? Don't feel bad. Just start rejoicing in the fact that you're part of it. You say, what about a... No, I don't know what part. David said, I'd sooner be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than sit on the throne. One fellow said, I'd sooner be a doorman in the house of God, just let me get in there. Well, I tell you one thing, if you're a doorman here for the Lord, you won't be a doorman there, I can tell you that. He said, come up higher, you're the one I'm looking for. Let's sing, take the name of Jesus.